Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Greg Brown has navigated his way through the hustle and bustle of New York City to get to Flushing Meadows, Queens, for tonight's game between the Pirates and Mets. Middle game of this series, Jared Jones, appointment viewing and listening on the mound again for them. See if he can keep it going. Been very dominant, a lot of strikeouts, tons of swing and misses. Ray of hope for the Pirates. So looking forward to seeing him again against an old Pirate, Jose Quintana, on the mound. Greg's visits with us are brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Don't overlook your home's gutter system, 8885-HELMET. Greg, it's been a while since I've asked you this question. When do you think we see Paul Skenes?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to figure out that schedule. Trying to think along with them. When Ben Charrington said on his show on Sunday that it sounds like they want to get him onto that kind of big league rotation every 5 days, I see now, and I don't know if this is official, but I saw on the minor league website that he's due to pitch again on Thursday.
Yes, that's right.
There were a couple of rainouts that kind of messed that up. So it sounds like they're slowly. I'm guessing he'll get up to. I had it all tracked down, Andrew. I think he had 55 pitches thrown his last time.
Yep.
So I think my guess is he goes up to maybe 65 this time. It's a kind of slow, methodical process. So my guess is he makes. Maybe like three more starts. It's just total guess on my part. I have no clue. And wherever that puts us, is that, mid-May? Somewhere around there is my guess. Maybe closer to the end of May. The thing about it is that, this is before the injury to Gonzalez, you'd say, well, heck, there's no need for him whatsoever. And you could still say that. We'll wait to see how what the injury is to Gonzalez, how serious it is. Do they need to for a long stretch of starts have to have another guy, whether it be Priester or Ortiz or Contreras? But before the injury to Gonzalez, you didn't feel like there was an absolute need for him. Everybody's pitching so well, so maybe like I said, I'm trying to think along with him. I'm going to just say. In another month or so.
I like that answer, Greg, mainly because it jives with what I think is going to happen with Skenes. So we're on the same page there. What about the two guys, actually? The guy who would presumably at some point be catching pitches at this level from Paul Skenes and the guy who would be fielding it on the rare times you would imagine the ball would be put in play. What's going on with Henry Davis and O'Neill Cruz? And who do you think maybe is more cause for concern right now through 17 games with the slow start?
I don't think I'd say cause for concern in either instance. In terms of because it's so hard. First of all, it was surprising to me even going back to spring training, but the early part of this season to see O'Neill Cruz look like he had been playing consistently for the last couple of years, when in reality he played a handful of games last year until April the 9th. Then he gets hurt, then didn't play at all. No competition. Didn't even play winter ball. And then he shows up in spring training, starts playing some games, and he did well in the first handful of games. And now, it's that old theory about them punching back. It's a hard game. And now I think his timing is off. I think he's kind of caught in between. I don't think he's as aggressive now. His strikeouts have piled up. I think it's something like 3 walks to 22, something like that.
4-29, I think it is, Greg.
Okay, what's even worse? Yeah, that was before the game yesterday. So, you know, he won't play today against lefty. Maybe he plays tomorrow. Maybe he gets 2 days off. And you have to take each case individually. So that's with Cruz. To me, it makes sense he's going to struggle. It took him a while before he started to figure it out, when he started to punch back to the league and figure out what they were doing to him. And then with Henry, aside from, you know, looked like not great at bats last night, there were a stretch of games, about 3 or 4 consecutive games, where he looked like he was kind of to a degree letting the ball come to him, not being so jumpy. Maybe he's always going to be that way.
It feels like, Brownie, that those two guys could use, like I said this to Andrew earlier in the show, like try to take a little bit of Davis's approach and almost apply it to Cruz and do the opposite with Cruz to Davis. Yeah. Like, hey, Henry, relax a little up there. And hey, O'Neill, please try to be a little more aggressive early in counts. You know what I mean?
That's a good call. It'd be nice if you could do that, but you do have to take each case individually. And now what's really interesting for me now is going to be with Grandal starting his rehab today for Triple A Indy. It's only going to take probably, I would think, about a week for him. Then they're going to be faced with a decision again.
What do you think happens?
I don't know. Do they go with 3 catchers, or do they tell Henry, you got to get down there and catch every day and get a lot of at bats? If it were right now, that's probably where you would lean. But so much can happen in a week. Injuries are so much a part of the game of baseball. You just don't know. In another week, is somebody going to need to spend some time on an injured list? I don't know. But it's going to be fascinating to watch. And how Shelton and the Pirates start to work with O'Neill Cruz. Hopefully he gets through this. You know, he did get through it in the big leagues a couple years ago. Went through that stretch. It can be a really, really tough game, and especially for someone who's been away for most of a year to try and get back. And no matter how much talent you have, it's just not automatic that you're going to step in the batter's box and start crushing the ball.
Greg, this past weekend there were a flurry of just very obvious balls that were called strikes that cost teams games. There was that Angel Hernandez incident that I'm sure you're probably aware of, where he was ringing guys up and the ball was a foot off the plate. We had Chapman get tossed in last night's game because he wasn't happy with the umpire, and frankly, it didn't look like Perez was that thrilled with the balls and strike calls last night either. Can you tell our listeners again, just so they know your stance in 2024, on when you think the technology should take over and replace these guys behind the plate?
Well, I don't think it should take over. When I think it probably will take over, it'll probably take over. Maybe next year is almost too soon, but it's a better chance that I think it'll be in a couple years, unless they really get it down pat between now and the winter.
Well, what's keeping you from saying it should?
It's a debate maybe for another time, because my feeling was, Andrew, when they introduced replay initially, my feeling was that if you are going to introduce replay, you probably should start with the strike zone. All those important calls. And now that I've someone said to me, we were without that box on the TV side a couple weeks ago for almost an entire game. Mm-hmm. And a couple people tweeted to me, said, you know, hey, why not keep that box out of the game once a week or something? Select the day. Because with a box in there, it makes the umpires look way worse. I guess now my feeling has been that they're probably criticized more than they should be when it comes to the strike zone. So I think I've kind of stepped back from my stance originally, which was years ago, that I thought it should have been implemented almost as soon as possible. Now It's the one area of the game that allows a human to official to be involved. I mean, when you take that out of the equation, then it's all robotic, essentially, for nine innings.
But if it's somebody like Hernandez, who, I mean, him specifically, I guess I'm ganging up on him or piling on.
Well, you should, because he's terrible at his job.
He's a guy.
Yeah, you know what, though? I just to interrupt there. I was actually talking to Martin Perez about that very subject yesterday. There's a big poster board of each umpire in baseball. I think almost every clubhouse has this, and almost like a roster, and kind of pointed to each one, and I gave my thoughts on each. He gave his thoughts on each, and he talked about how much he respects them all. And I got to Angel Hernandez. I said, you know, I really feel like, for whatever reason, and maybe it's just his attitude, but it's like everybody piles on him more than every other umpire. And it's not like we haven't had games. And not to rip on the guy that was behind the plate last night, but since you brought it up, I mean, if that were Angel Hernandez last night, people would be going crazy.
Well, I think that's because he delights in rubbing it in people's faces. Like, I distinctly remember I distinctly remember, I think it was a Cleveland Athletics game that he was umpiring, and somebody challenged, did a ball actually go over the fence because it was ruled a double? And he watched the replay, ball clearly over fence, and he kept it at a double. Like, I think as almost like a protest among at the idea that he could or his crew could be second guessed by video replay. And ever since that specific incident, Brownie, I've just had an impossible time watching him and thinking he's not almost like stubbornly puffing his chest out saying, I'll get some calls wrong and you're all going to like it because that's how it goes.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that's it. But I just don't think he just has become public enemy number one amongst all. He's just easy to jump on because his name's out there for even the casual fans. Everybody wants to just say, oh, Angel Hernandez is terrible. And even people that are casual viewers say that because his name's out there. And I just, you know, not fair, but maybe to your point, maybe it's just because he's taken that upon himself to be that way.
Greg, grade the Pirates' fielding to this point in the season. Like you're a professor.
Well, I don't know. Well, yeah,
teacher.
I don't know. It's average. You know, it's been average. It's probably a C plus, maybe.
But I feel like it's worse than I thought it would be. I thought they were going to be one of the better defensive teams in the league. Do you agree with that?
I think that they still will be. You know, and I think this is another example where you have to take each case individually. I mean, Key Brian Hayes had a couple of. I think he's been charged with three errors, I believe, but two.
Yep.
In Miami, and everybody complained about that infield and that turf. I mean, it was just awful. So, you know, I take that with a grain of salt. I don't know. Cruz has been very inconsistent with his fielding. Triolo's been really good. Tellez's been really good. I think the outfield play, now they're starting to understand each other much more. They know what Taylor can do, the ground he can cover. That has come into play. Reynolds has gotten way better at left and right now that he knows the ground Taylor can cover. Sawinski's better in left, and he was really good last night in center. I just think it's going to get better. It's not going to get worse.
Gotcha. Greg, enjoy New York. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.